You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com, and we've had some time to kind of dissect what happened in the conference championship games. We only have one more game there to look at for DFS purposes, the Super Bowl 52, and congratulations to the Patriots and the Eagles for getting there. So we'll break down that game as we get closer to it, look at the different sides of that, as well as keep you up to date with the coaching changes and what they might mean for these teams as things start to get official here. We'll have our initial thoughts on all that as we go along, as we bridge the gap here from the conference championship games to Super Bowl 52. First, on today's show, we'll look at the takeaways from these four teams in that previous round and what we can take away for the Jaguars and Vikings. It's better luck next year. We'll see what faces these teams ahead in terms of reality and fantasy and what you should know going into 2018. And then the Patriots and Eagles will have some insight into what we can expect there coming up on the surface. We'll dive deeper when we know the injuries and the total prices and looking at the updated over under and spread in that game. We'll get a better idea as we get closer next week as the teams actually practice and have more injury updates there. So let's start with the Patriots and Jaguars here. What happened? 24-20. We know the Patriots came down from 20-10 down in the fourth quarter to win, had two touchdowns there unanswered to win the game. Tom Brady was incredible again, but Blake Bortles, we'll start with the losing side here. 23 of 36, 293 yards, had a TD. They're sacked three times, but a rating of 98.5. Very good game for Bortles. Maybe the final game for the Jaguars? That's the big question mark here. Now, keep in mind, the Jaguars have some key decisions here at wide receiver for sure. They got to decide if Allen Robinson is worth bringing back as the number one receiver. They got Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns. We're not sure how the pecking order will go with D.D. Westbrook. Is probably going to have a bigger factor next year, as well as Keelan Cole, given what they did in their rookie season. So the Jaguars might be in position with Robinson coming off the major injury of letting him walk. That might change the way we look at Bortles. But remember, a couple years ago, Bortles and Robinson had a big year together with touchdown passes in the red zone. So there's going to be a lot of things to weigh on Bortles' future. He's going to be worth about $19 million to the Jaguars. Are they going to go in a different direction? Do they like Bortles in this scheme with Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator? So a lot of questions there, especially with Bortles playing rather well in the playoff games there against the Steelers and Patriots. A good way to finish for Bortles and giving his coaching staff some good feeling of upside going into the offseason. So I think there's a pretty good chance Bortles is going to be retained. He wants to stay there. It's a good spot, and he's a relative bargain to what else they could go after there to keep their championship chances alive. Remember, they were only 4 points short of getting the Super Bowl with Bortles, and he did fine. He played as well as he could in this game. The Patriots' defense made some big plays. You got to give them credit. In the rushing attack, Leonard Fournette had some good success at times, but the Patriots were clearly trying to bottle him up. 24 carries for 76 yards and a TD. It was a bit of a underneath route game there, short dump-offs, crossing routes for the Jaguars. So they really couldn't stretch the field much, and that kind of hurt Fournette from getting going here when the Jaguars had that big lead there in the second half. 24 of 76 with the touchdown. So still got in the end zone. Nice little dive play there. Two catches for 13 yards. So still a part of his game that needs to develop. They used Corey Grant a lot of that randomly in that capacity. Three catches for 59 yards. TJ Yeldon had two catches for 6 yards. So it didn't do too much damage there. But Yeldon did look pretty good running. Five carries, 25 yards. So When you look at this, Yeldon is definitely keepable. I think what's the Jaguars have seen of Chris Ivory, the human injury, always banged up. I think they'd realize that Ivory is kind of useless to them at this point. Fournette can handle a big load. He can come back pretty well from injuries, whether it's ankle or knee. He's missed a couple games. One was a decision, remember, where he's suspended for a game randomly and they didn't play him. One there was due to the ankle. So Fournette does have a few durability issues, but look, overall, he recovers pretty fast and can handle a big workload in general. And I think with the full off season to kind of rest now and get better in the NFL, I think that's going to help Fournette a lot. So I bet Chris Ivory doesn't return. So this is going to be pretty simple. Fournette is going to remain a workhorse. Yeldon there is a change of pace for this team going forward, and maybe a little bit of Grant going forward as well. Maybe they'll battle for that role going in, but that sets up nicely for Fournette for his sophomore season in the NFL. Alan Hearns is a guy that finally kind of unleashed in this game. 6 catches for 80 yards as the leading receiver here. Marquise Lee just didn't look healthy, kind of hobbled with that foot late in the season. 4 catches for 41 yards on 8 targets. So he used to have the hamstring issues. The durability is just a big question for Marquise Lee. If we can trust him, if the Jaguars can trust him, and that might alter their decision on Robinson as well. It's a play of Keelan Cole, 2 catches for 37 yards. D.D. Westbrook, only 1 catch, but made it count for 29 yards. So when you look at this team between Keelan Cole and Westbrook, and I mentioned Hearns being a good slot receiver there, you know he's probably the best pure slot guy there, and Robinson being the most upside of a bonafide number one. Marquise Lee, I know he's a versatile swing guy. He's been starting and being rather reliable, but the durability just makes him a hard guy to trust in this offense going forward. So we'll have to see what happens with Robinson. That's going to be the key determining factor in how we feel about these other receivers. Is it going to return to Robinson and Hearns, or are they going to turn the page to more Westbrook and Cole being the main men there? So a lot of decisions there to make in the receiving core for the Jaguars, and a lot of that will be tied to what they think of Blake Bortles as well. So it's going to be interesting as the Jaguars move on. And defensively, I think they'll be the stud that they were in 2017 and a little bit of 18. Just a very good defensive unit. Everyone's going to be intact here for another year. So the Jaguars, you know, when you go in the 6th or 7th round of a fantasy football draft, the first defense that pops up, the Jaguars are that good. They were like a QB1 in terms of their production when you look over all their sacks and turnovers and scoring potential from game to game is just off the charts good. And, you know, if you had them this year, that they were a big asset on your team. And they'll remain that way. I think some teams will catch up a little bit, but this is just a very good defense overall and makes a ton of plays. Perfect for fantasy football. Now, who are the next generation of offensive skill players and defensive players that are going to stand out? Well, check out the Locked On NFL Network for insight on the Senior Bowl. All the prospects are getting revved up there. The quarterbacks, such as Josh Rosen and Josh Allen, really trying to impress teams there and get going here. So it is a big, big week. We've got a lot of our team out there, Locked On Eagles. We have our Locked On NFL Draft show there with our host, John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema, breaking things down from Mobile. So check out those on the network. It's a good way to get some advanced scouting on what's going on. Starting in the NFL draft, we know it'll start revving up more. Senior Bowl is the first big step. We'll have the combine. Before you know it, the 2018 NFL draft will be here in April, and the players will be off the clock, and we can start thinking about their fantasy values a la Fournette here in 2017. Now let's go on to what we see on the Patriots side of things coming out of the championship game. 24-20, they were able to rally and win. Tom Brady, 290 yards, 2 TDs. He's proved he's still matchup-proof, solid. It was good to see this. He struggled a little bit kind of near the end of the season with the bad stretch there, but he's going to rebound and rise as we see, and Brady, you paid a lot to get him there in DFS, but 290-2, I think you got to look at him as the guy that you want to pay up for in the Super Bowl opposite Nick Foles in that game. I think Brady can have a much bigger game against the Eagles back end of the defense, which is not nearly as good as the Jaguars in coverage with the speed and linebackers and the corners, and not exactly shutdown guys there in relation to the Jaguars. So Tom Brady, what can you say, comes through again. Deion Lewis had a tough game for sure. 9 carries, 34 yards, 7 receptions, 32 yards. But the key here was volume. People were looking for Rex Burkhead to touch the ball. He only had it once for 5 yards rushing. James White did touch the ball. He did have a touchdown as well, but only 3 carries for 4 yards, 3 catches for 22 yards. So when you look in relation to that, even with the struggle, 16 touches for 66 yards for Lewis. He did have a fumble loss, but that didn't affect him either. Remember, they kept him in the game and trusted him in the back end, and he had that 18-yard run there on third down to ice the game for the Patriots, not give the ball back to the Jaguars for one last gasp possession. For so Lewis is the man. He's going to be the man going into the game against the Eagles, but we don't know beyond that. It could be another struggle. The Eagles are a very good run defense, so don't expect a lot of things to open for Lewis, but he can always make up for it with his receiving skills, which he did in this game against the Jaguars. So it's a big game for Lewis. Is he going to be really the workhorse? They've kind of limited Burkhead since he came back from the injury. Mike Gillisley has just been inactive and a scratch here, and James White has been there. So I'd expect the same breakdown between Lewis, Burkhead, and White in Super Bowl 52, but really it's a big opportunity for Lewis. If he can get out of the game healthy, not make any mistakes, use good ball security, and produce against his former team, the Eagles, that is a good chance for him to step into 2018 regular season with a good role in mind. Now, you look at the receiving core there, and Brandon Cooks, tough matchup, drew a couple of penalty flags there on A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey in coverage, but overall, tough grinding out game. They moved him around a little bit. 6 catches, 100 yards, 8 targets, had a 31-yard play in that mix. So Cooks, this is a big game for Cooks because it was a tough matchup and he came through. Not as big a game, though, for Danny Amendola. 7 catches, 84 yards on 9 targets, 2 TDs there. Amendola was just the man there. They got away from Aaron Colvin, got him matched up on the linebacker. Telvin Smith is fast, but Amendola is pretty quick and hard to cover because they can sneak him through in the slot. That's why they like these short, dashing receivers. We've seen it with Wes Welker. We've seen it with Julian Edelman. Amendola has pretty much played this much in a key role because of Edelman being down, and Amendola has just been on fire in the playoffs. So keep in mind there, it's going to be a little tougher going forward with Amendola's production, both in the Super Bowl with Patrick Robinson on the other side of the slot, and then if Edelman comes back, we're not sure there. So things could change, and the Chris Hogan, remember, has been banged up and not used much with the shoulder injury. He's not really a slot guy anyway. He's more of an outside guy. Only 2 catches for 20 yards on 4 targets for Hogan. So very little use. Amendola's kind of taken over as the number 2 receiver, maybe even co-number 1 with the way he's been targeted opposite Cooks more. He started this game in the game book, so Amendola is the guy that you're maybe looking at. Maybe they'll play him outside a little bit more in the to get him away from the Robinson matchup there against the Eagles. But overall, I think Amendola has probably hit his peak in the playoffs against the Titans and Jaguars. Really can't get much better than that. So I think this is going to be more a Cooks game going forward. And good to see Cooks kind of delivering as the number one again after he didn't do too much against the Titans. But he's clearly going to be a big factor in this offense next season and probably feel a little bit better now that he has a full season down of chemistry, including playoffs with Brady. Now, Rob Gronkowski, this is the question mark. 1 catch, 21 yards there before he exited with the concussion. He had the hit there by Gibson in the secondary, and easily that you could see he had a concussion. Now going through the protocol to see if he'll play in Super Bowl 52. But keep in mind, he didn't play in Super Bowl 51 at all, so looks like he'll be available there. The big takeaway from Gronk, man, all the way through, and he did get hurt and knocked out of this game. He did miss another game with an injury as well against the Buccaneers. He's just proved to be very durable overall. You'll take that. When he plays for most of the season, finishes most games, when you didn't have him at all last year, he's just a behemoth, and he's continued, took care of himself a little bit better this year, and that's good to see. So for next year, you're going to feel all in about Gronk and not be as fearful about going after him with the injury durability risk. He seems like an on-year, off-year type of thing, but for now, you got to trust that Gronkowski is going to stay healthy and look at him there, and you know he's going to be cleared to play in Super Bowl 52 against the Eagles. Speaking of the Eagles, let's go to the Eagles-Vikings game. 38-7. There's not much to talk about the Vikings, so let's get them out of the way. And a lot of more questions coming out of this game for the Vikings. Case Keenum really struggled there against the Eagles. The game flow didn't help. The Vikings were actually up 7-0. Things looked good. Case Keenum was moving the ball down the field. Ended up with 271 yards passing and a TD there. But had the two interceptions, including the pick six by the aforementioned Patrick Robinson. So that was brutal. And just tough, tough game overall. So when you look at that, so now the big question is Case Keenum going to return? He's a free agent here, so not a good game overall for Keenum, and also lost a fumble, strip sacked in the red zone there. So the thing he hadn't been doing all year, turning over the ball, he did. The Eagles had a lot to do with it, pressuring him into mistakes, but just enough question marks here with Pat Shurmur leaving to become the head coach of the Giants. The new offensive coordinator coming in, will they want Keenum? Will he fit in the new offense? They were running a bit air Coryell here, which Keenum, with his ability to push the ball downfield, yet the athleticism to do some of the West Coast principles, really fit him well in the Shurmur offense. So big question mark. We know Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent. He's going to be the cheapest of the three, given the durability issues coming off the knee. Sam Bradford is maybe the most expensive of the three, being a number one overall pick that's had a kind of a high salary point no matter where he's gone of late, but now he's a free agent, so the market kind of resets for him. So I think Keenum and Bradford will be probably closer to each other's value. It's hard to justify bringing back Bradford to consistent durability risk and late in his career here. So a lot of question marks about who will be the Vikings quarterback next year. Kirk Cousins is a possibility. You got to look at Alex Smith, especially if they go to someone with West Coast offensive leanings as the next Vikings offensive coordinator. So that's a big question mark there. In the backfield, we look at Jerick McKinnon. He was the most effective guy there. 10 carries for 40 yards, 11 catches for 86 yards. So big productive game. He was busy. The game flow kind of helped, but they got McKinnon involved before they were down big in this game. He was just a good matchup guy. But we know McKinnon, Latavius Murray struggled, 6 carries for 18 yards and 2 catches for 11 yards. That it's going to be the Dalvin Cook show coming back from the knee injury next year in the sophomore season. He was headed to a special thing, so McKinnon and Murray pretty much have limited value, except as limited insurance there, because you're going to get a split game-to-game type situation with who's more productive there because of their different skill sets. We know Dalvin Cook kind of combines their skill sets. So Dalvin Cook will probably be underdrafted because of McKinnon and Murray a little bit in the presence and the worry about the injury, but it's going to be Cook's backfield again. McKinnon and Murray had their moments, but nothing to say they were more special than Cook and deserve to cut in too much to his playing time next year. So that was the thing you take away from the backfield. From the receiving core, I think that's going to be the most status quo here. They might have to adjust to new offense, and they will definitely adjust to a new coordinator. 8 catches on 12 targets for 70 yards for Stephon Diggs. Jarius Wright involved again, 3 catches, 51 yards. So it looks like they have their slot guy that they can trust now for sure. They kind of gave up on Laquone Treadwell being a thing. We'll see if the first-round pick kind of hangs around or not in the Vikings' plans here, that as more than a blip as a fourth or fifth receiver down there with Michael Floyd as being kind of an afterthought in this offense. But Jarius Wright is big. It does hurt Adam Thielen's value because Wright can be used in the slot. We know Thielen is pretty good in the slot. Thielen really cooled off in the end, probably a little bit due to Wright emerging. Stephon Diggs has also had some good matchups as well. So people realize that Thielen was more of Keenum's go-to guy, and I think they kind of flocked to him, especially in the playoffs, and really kind of contain him. So Thielen, a tough ending to a very strong year overall. But Thielen, I think when you look next year, Stephon Diggs I look at more as a wide receiver two, and Thielen right behind him as a wide receiver two as well. So neither one because of the other's presence and the limited Vikings passing game, especially with Cook coming back and wanting to run the ball in more effectively there. That Diggs versus Thielen, I think it's pretty close, but I wouldn't look at either as a wide receiver one. But Wright is an interesting person there just to help Diggs and Thielen maintain their value. Kyle Rudolph, still a tight end one to me. Only had 1 catch on 4 targets for 25 yards, but made it count with the touchdown. So Rudolph had a good chemistry as there, well with Keenum. We know in the past he's had some things good with Bridgewater, but again, expect Rudolph to be a key factor no matter who's the quarterback, even if it's not one of those three guys. So there you go with the Vikings. Some big questions, but Cook is going to help answer a lot of them in the backfield. Quarterback is going to be a big thing we're going to watch all season long. Now we flip to the other side with the Eagles as they move on with a 38-7 victory to the Super Bowl. And when you look at the Eagles, the key story here was Nick Foles, 352 yards, three touchdowns, only sacked once, rating of 141.4. So no matter what the number, how you say it, it was a big, big number for Foles. What can you say? They got him aggressive, throwing downfield. Alshon Jeffrey was a total beast in this one. Five catches, 85 yards, caught all of his targets, two TDs. Very efficient, Jeffrey is, because Foles looks for him when he's open. Zach Ertz, eight catches, 93, caught all of his targets as well. Torrey Smith caught 5 of 7 for 69 yards and a TD, and a nice throw there in double coverage into the corner of the end zone. And three catches, 59 yards for Nelson Agholor. So Eagles pretty much did whatever they wanted with their main receivers here. Ertz and Jeffrey are going to be around for a long time for sure. So these guys have been fantastic. Agholor has been turning up in the slot. Smith, it's good to see him do some damage. We know he's a kind of a boom or bust type receiver still from his days in Baltimore and San Francisco, still in the end of his first season here in Philadelphia, the same deal. But Ertz and Jeffrey, they're going to be big in the Super Bowl as well. I think Agholor will be a little bit more involved than Smith based on the matchup. So I bet Ertz is the guy that gets bottled up a little bit by the Patriots, but Agholor I really like to keep it going. But this was a case where the Eagles could do anything they wanted, which we didn't think would be the case against the Vikings, and got to credit Foles for distributing and kind of getting this offense to be as explosive as it was with Carson Wentz. So Foles is intriguing, definitely, when you think about probably going to be well cheaper price than Brady in the Super Bowl. So you have to go with that in DFS if you want it. But I don't think the difference is going to be as much as you think, just because this could be a high-scoring game and there's only two quarterbacks to pick from. Now, when you look at JHI, I think these are some signs that he's going to be the workhorse next year. Really started to get the consistent workload. When you look at it, 18 carries, 73 yards, three catches, 26 yards. So effective in both mediums there. Blowout, touch the ball a lot. 21 touches there. LeGarrette Blount got six rushes. That was his only work of the day. Corey Clement had one catch for 8 yards, as well as two carries for 20 yards. So really stacked against Blount and Clement. Clement actually got more snaps than Blount in this game. So clearly they've gone to Ajayi. The only thing that you wish they would do with Ajayi is use him more in the red zone, but they seem intent about LeGarrette Blount or Clement, depending on the down and distance there in the red zone, to use one of those guys instead of Ajayi. So that's a little frustrating, and I don't think you'll maybe see that change with Ajayi as he goes into his full season with the Eagles in 2018. But you have to be pleased with the way he's playing down the stretch here, especially with the offensive line starting to work. We know with Jason Peters possibly coming back, that's going to help him even more be effective on this team. He didn't get a chance to run behind Peters, only Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks on the right side. But this offensive line and Ajayi, I think Ajayi is going to be worthy of a first-round pick again. I think some people will be off him because of non-red zone work, but I think that'll be one thing they'll probably work on in the offseason where he's a scoring threat. And Blount, remember, he's getting older. He didn't have a lot of wiggle here down the stretch, so Ajayi could see a bigger role. It really comes down to what they think about Blount going forward and how they want to use him. But I think Ajayi is looking at a 25-touch role going forward. The Super Bowl definitely need to be fed a lot against a Patriots run defense that's struggled quite a bit. So Ajayi looking good for next year. We just want to see a little bit more chances to score there. It's, right now he's got to reel off 20-yard run or take a short catch a long way to get in the end zone. That's a bit frustrating for sure. Now, when you look at these defenses, the Eagles did well up front, got the big plays. I think I would stay away from the Eagles or the Patriots in the Super Bowl in terms of defense. You got to play one of them, but I would maybe lean toward the Patriots more because Got Tom Brady on the other side. So, but when you look at this game, the Eagles were functioning at this high level and can easily do this again against the Patriots. The Patriots have a lot more holes than the Vikings defense, so keep that in mind. And there's no reason that they won't be aggressive with Foles in the Super Bowl. And one final thing, this Foles-Carson Wentz fake controversy on should there be a question on who's the starter? No, there shouldn't. Carson Wentz is the starter. And that's what we're looking at for sure as we look at 2018. I don't think Foles will be the guy even in consideration there. So it's interesting. People have been talking about it. But remember, Foles has only had a couple of really good games. Well, Wentz was an MVP candidate through all the season, just a more skilled quarterback overall. So that's how it goes here for the Eagles as we look a little bit further ahead than Super Bowl 18. There you have it. There's another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. Consider it the bye week edition. We'll rev up more there for you in Super Bowl week. I'll be down there, so try to get some insight on these teams a little deeper for you, as well as do an in-depth breakdown of the DFS values and guys you want to avoid there in Super Bowl 52 as we go into next week. So for Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time as we get closer and closer to Super Bowl 52.